Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The story of Jesus. This is the theme of several lessons that we're presenting. We took the inspired record of the life of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we divided it into 66 different sections. And we're studying each of these sections as we try to get an overview and a grasp of what is revealed concerning the Christ. We're now ready for section number 30, and an event between Jesus and his relatives. Jesus seldom failed to use every occasion to plant some truth. His time was short, and he used it wisely. And while he was teaching, his fleshly kin came to the scene, and he was told of their presence, but he answered, "Who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" Now, friend, he was in no way showing disrespect, but was laying the groundwork for a spiritual lesson. He went on to say, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." What Christ taught was that kinship with Christ that really counted was a spiritual kinship. It even surpasses that of one's own fleshly family. Those who did the Father's will would be considered his kin. The spiritual tie is more to be desired than a physical one. And then in section 31, we see that Jesus taught using parables. In fact, this was one of the primary methods that he used in conveying his will. And rather than just now mentioning each parable or trying to find the chronological order of his teaching of them, it will suffice for this review of the story of Christ on earth to simply have a number of general statements regarding his use of the parables. This is what we have chosen to do. Now, friend, it is likely that he taught some of these parables in different places and various times, and much like gospel preachers today, he may well have preached the same parables in different localities. Paul often taught the same thing, did he not, everywhere that he went? Now, a parable is a comparison between something familiar and some spiritual truth. A parable has been described as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Some parables were almost like proverbs, while others are highly figurative statements that might actually say one thing but imply something else, like the parable of turning the other cheek or going the second mile. In these, he was teaching an attitude rather than actually doing the precise physical thing that's mentioned. All of the parables, however, were designed to illustrate the truth that he taught. And many came in response to questions that were asked of him, such as the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And that brought forth the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coins, the lost son, they teach the joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. The parable of the sower shows that there are different reactions to the gospel. Several parables were descriptive of the kingdom that was soon to come. Others were illustrations of principles at work in the judgment. Now, many sermons are necessary to properly discuss the parables of Jesus. They were intended to reveal truth to those who sought it, and to keep it hidden from those who wanted to hear him in order to ridicule him. A parable presents a situation that we can understand and something that we all can readily accept. And the application of the parables were to teach spiritual truths. And this is what Jesus did with the parables. And we make a mistake, however, to try to make too much of a parable, such as trying to make each item in the parable have some great significance. That's a misuse of the parable. A parable is usually intended to convey one or two great truths, and the rest of the parable is merely supportive material. Depending upon what all one might include, there are somewhere between 40 to 50 parables given by Jesus Christ in the New Testament throughout his ministry, and he used them throughout his ministry. As we mentioned, doubtless they were used over and over. Some were taught to his immediate disciples. Others were taught to the multitudes generally. Some were even taught to his enemies. It is sufficient here in our review of the story of Jesus to know that the master teacher used parables, and this had been prophesied of something that he would do in Psalm 78 and verse 2. Well, section 32 is when Jesus stills the tempest. Now, while in Galilee, the multitudes pressed upon him so much that he was near the Sea of Galilee, he commanded his disciples to depart to the other side. And there was a need for some seclusion. Jesus and the disciples were in need of some rest. But while crossing the sea, there arose a sudden tempest, and we are told that this is not uncommon for the Sea of Galilee. The boat was covered with waves, but the master was asleep, indicative of his physical weariness. And the disciples, fearing for their lives, they woke him up. And when he arose, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and the sea was calmed, and his disciples said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Section 33. Once on the other side of the sea, Jesus encountered a man possessed by two demons. Another account said the name of the demon was Legion, because many demons had entered into the man. The man was fierce, and he was fearful. None would venture even into his vicinity. He lived among the caves and in the tombs. And he had great strength, even breaking fetters that some had tried to use to bind him. And when Jesus approached him, they cried out, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Whereupon Jesus commanded the demons to depart from the man. And he further commanded that they enter into the swine nearby. And they numbered about 2,000. And once the demons left the man and entered the swine rushed over the cliff into the sea, and they were drowned. And people came, and they found the man recovered. But they were so fearful that they asked Jesus to leave their borders. Then Jesus entered the boat and returned to the other side, where multitudes awaited him. Our 34th section is a discussion of a feast given by a man named Levi. Back in Capernaum, a man named Levi had a great feast for publicans and sinners. Jesus was also there, along with Pharisees and scribes and others, that made the environment an environment of hostility and one where there was great criticism of Jesus. Some criticized him and his disciples for even being there. And Jesus again explained that he was there because these people were spiritually sick, and they needed what he offered. He was not there to condone or to cooperate with their evil. The disciples of John the Baptist questioned why the disciples of Jesus never fasted. Now, fasting was a mark of sorrow, and for the purpose of creating solemnity of the mind. Jesus said their time of sorrow had not yet come, because he was yet with them. But the sign was soon coming when he would be taken from them, and they would fast. But while he remained with them, it was inappropriate for them to fast. And section 35 has to do with the daughter of Jairus. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue, who had a daughter of 12 years of age. But the daughter was sick, indeed she was dying. Jairus came to Jesus and asked that he heal her. And as he went, this is Jesus going now to the house of Jairus, a woman who had been ill for 12 years reached out and touched the hem of his garment and was healed. And Jesus recognized that virtue or power had gone out from him, and he asked who had touched him. And inasmuch as multitudes thronged around him, his disciples said it was impossible to know. But the woman came forward and admitted that she was the one. And Jesus commended her because of her faith. And he continued on his way to the home of Jairus. As he came, messengers came and said it was too late, the daughter was already dead. But Jesus told them not to fear, and he moved forward. He arrived and took Peter, James, and John with him into the room where lay the body of the girl. And also the parents entered with them. Then Jesus commanded the girl to arise, and she arose. And Jesus told them to give her something to eat. The people marveled at this great deed of raising the dead to life again. And once again, Jesus proved power over death. Section 36 was the healing of the blind and casting out of more demons. The miracles of Jesus continued almost every place that he went, except in some places where the people just absolutely refused to believe. He did not perform miracles simply to gain a show for himself. He did it to prove his identity. Blind men came asking for mercy, and they were given their sight. He cast out demons, even though the Pharisees had charged that he did it by the power of the devil. He had already exposed their inconsistencies in that accusation. And we read of many of these details concerning the miracles of Christ and how it created faith and confidence in the minds and the hearts of the people that he was who he claimed to be. In section 37, we find one of the occasions when Jesus was rejected. And this time it's in the city of Nazareth. The last time that Jesus had visited Nazareth, the people had tried to cast him over a cliff because he applied Old Testament scripture to himself. The Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah, he said it referred to him. But once again he came to the synagogue in Nazareth to teach the people. And they challenged his right to teach. They challenged the source of his wisdom. They noted that he was but a carpenter. In fact, much of his family, they said, still lived among them. And so Christ did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief, and he noted that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. Now, as we have said several times before, most of the works, most of the teaching, most of the travels of Jesus was in Galilee. And section 38 refers to another Galilean tour. And by this time in the life of Jesus, he had already selected his 12 apostles. He spent much time with them privately in order to teach them and encourage them in the work for which they were chosen to do. His immediate goal was to prepare for the coming of the kingdom, and his long-range goal was to present the guiding truths that would govern that kingdom, planting them into the hearts and the minds of these apostles. The apostles were sent forth in pairs to cover the land with the message of the coming kingdom. They were given miraculous powers. They were promised that the message they needed would be provided them. They would meet opposition, and he characterized their work as being like sheep among wolves. People would betray them, as well as those, some, few, who would believe them. Those that received them and their message would be blessed. And where they were rejected, Jesus said they were to shake off the dust from their feet and proceed elsewhere. When news came to Jesus of the death of John the Baptist, now as already noted, John had been in prison because of his preaching against the adulterous relationship of Herod and Herodias. And now he was beheaded to fulfill a promise that Herod had made to Salome, the daughter of Herodias, who had pleased Herod and his court with her dancing. The news of John's death greatly disturbed John's disciples and the disciples of Christ. And his disciples, particularly the apostles, gathered themselves together with Jesus. But the multitudes pressed so heavily upon them that they found no time for leisure, they found no time for rest, they didn't even find time so much as to eat their meals. And then there was the great miracle of Christ, section 39, of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus and his disciples went to a deserted place, but once again they were followed by a great multitude. The day passed, and there was no food for the crowd. Jesus characterized them as sheep without a shepherd, and he had sympathy and understanding upon them. The disciples suggested that Jesus send them away for food. But Jesus asked them what food was available. And there were only 5 loaves and 2 fishes that a small lad had brought. And he had the people to set in orderly groups and miraculously took the limited supply, and he fed the 5,000, even with 12 basketfuls being left over. And this was one of his miracles of supply, physical supply. And then our last section for this particular study, section number 40, Jesus walks on the water. Yes, Christ continued to demonstrate his deity, including the walking on water. Once again, he showed his power over nature and over the elements. You see, he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee without him, going into a nearby mountain to pray. But while the disciples were crossing the sea, a storm arose, and they were afraid. And they looked to see Jesus coming toward them, walking on the water. And they were sore troubled, thinking that they really saw a ghost. It was then that Peter asked Jesus if he be the Christ, and if he was, to allow him to come to him on the water. And it was then that Peter was allowed to walk on the water toward Jesus. But as Peter took his eye off of Christ and focused attention on the boisterous waves around him, he was frightened, and he began to sink. And Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. And when they eventually reached the other side of the sea, the disciples worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Once again, the function of the miracles of Jesus Christ was realized. We're going to continue to investigate the story of Jesus as found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're presenting this story of what is recorded of his life in seven different lectures. And we are now prepared for lecture number 5 and for the 41st of the 66 sections into which we have divided the story of Jesus. And our 41st section will be Jesus as the Bread of Life. Dear friend, we're trying to motivate you and encourage you to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there you learn what deity has revealed to us concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Savior of man. The story of Jesus. Indeed, the story of salvation for me and for you. We hope that you'll have an opportunity to spend great time in study of the story of Jesus. We hope that you can listen to the lessons that we're presenting on this theme. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.